accession number 18490, reel 3.
Ken Smith, reel 3.
We were picked up by an MTB and taken back to our base off Turkey. We did several other... We visited several other... Oh, I remember one occasion we was at sea and we was looking somewhere to hide the MTB. And there was a... like a large rock, you couldn't call it an island, it was a large rock with a hole in it. Large hole, large enough to get an MTB in. So, but intelligence had told us that an E-boat used to also use it. So this officer, I had to get over the side into our canoe and with a sergeant, and I managed to get into this canoe. And in the dark, I could see the silhouette of this island. And the next time, no, I was upside down. The sergeant had jumped in. He caught the edge of the canoe, and I was upside down. And I had a job. Oh, that was a near one, that was. I had a job to struggle out this canoe because I had a small rat rain in there. And anyhow, I got fished back inboard. And as it happened, there was no he-boat in there. We used to visit various islands, making a nuisance of ourselves, but eventually it got so hot for us, we had to move out to the Dodecanese. We went back to Haifa, and from Haifa we went to Alamein, Mosul Matru, up in the desert. Oh, it was while I was there, and I think it was about the first night I was there. We just got established in our tents. And I got about, in the early hours of the morning, about 2 in the morning, I was wakened by torches outside the tent. Kicks, Corporal Smith, get 4 chaps together. I got out, what's happening? I said. He said, oh, there's a very important guest arriving. It turned out to be that our chaps had captured some special service officers had captured a German general, General Kreutz, up in the Greek mountains. They made a film about it, and they brought him into our base. I had to guard, so we had to guard him for a few hours.
What was he like?
Oh, he was like Flintstone to look at. He was very arrogant. I remember as I stood there, and he was shorter than me, but he looked at us with contempt, and I suppose we were so confident of ourselves at the time. I thought he was rather arrogant, his attitude to us.
Did he cause you any trouble?
No. We had a lot of top brass come from Cairo. There was lots of staff cars come in the night just to take him away. From there, I forget, we went to Italy next. We were sent to Italy, and from Italy to Albania. We landed in Albania by a boat. From then it was nothing but climb up in the mountains all the time. And each area we would go to, we would get a partisan to help guard us from zone to zone. They were allocated areas. And we had an interpreter with us. I remember. I've got so many memories. This particular one, we'd been going day and night. We had a mule loaded to the hilt. We used to often get caught on the top of these mountains, wet through, saturated with these big packs.
Where is this?
In Albania, in the Albania mountains. And we pulled down. We was just north of, in the north of Albania, when a partisan come running in babbling away. And our interpreter turned to the officer, said, German mountain divs coming out of Greece should pass through this road in the morning. And right away, it's Corporal Smith. Always seen the Corporal Smith. He said, Corporal Smith, take this. He wrote a message out. He said, get this off immediately. So that meant I had to go right through the night, up through the mountains, down to Lake Macedonia. I think it was Lake Macedonia, one of the lakes there, where we had a LRDG post, and they were in contact with Italy. So, but I wasn't too sure of the track, so this is Albanian interpreter. He wrote off, he said, you go to the next village where the partisans are. And this was a joke, really. They were a joke, the Albanian partisans. They were sat round, night time, dark, oil lamps, drinking, celebrating. So when I was ushered in by these two small, I gave this message, which was wrote in Albanian by our interpreter. And funny, in Albania, their yes and no is opposite to us. If you go yes in our language, it's that.
You nod.
That is no yo and po in Albania. So it got a bit confusing to me. They was going like this and that when they were babbling away in Albanian. And I was in urgency. I had to be there by 0700 in the morning. And the casualness, I got irritated about it. And I could let them know that I said, pronto, molti tedeschi. Directly I said that, molti Germans, tedeschi. Uno, domani, next day, here. And worried them a bit. So they gave me a... this was comical. They gave me a young guide, took him. I had to go down to the two old shacks. They knocked on the door, and out come who should have been the guide, but he had no boots. He said he had no footwear. So they went next door, they took the boots off the chap next door, brought them in, gave it to this chap, and this poor old fella, he was getting on, and he had to take us through these mountain passes, up through, but he was painfully slow. And I could see it must have been 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and we was hardly making any progress. And I had to, directly I saw dawn coming over, you know, it went about 2 or 3 in the morning, you could see the first signs of dawn. We come to a bit of a plateau, and there was another chap with a bloody great dog come charging at us, and these partisans with their guns, they were old guns, what they'd captured off the autos, and they were all bent there. They told him to keep his dog off and told him he was going to be our guide, but he was older than this chap. How I got so cheesed up, I thought, I'll push on my own. So I disregarded him, and I made for the top of this mountain, and I looked down, and I took a stroke of luck. I must have hit the one path that mattered, and we just got down to get this signal off to send rocket fire and typhoons, this convoy coming through. And I just got into this old shack, which I recognise where these LRDG chaps was, and he was on the radio actually watching his watch. I was waiting for 0700. The other one was having a shave. And I said, get this all quick. And so he looked at that. And I just had a cup of tea there with him. And he goes, did I? I thought, good, I've seen it go off. And off I went back up. And off I went. I had a mate. And we'd been going all night. Now I'd been going all night the night before. And I went all day climbing. I eventually reached where I left, where the officer gave me the message, but which was the next night, that had been overrun. Cherries had overrun it. And in the middle of the floor, there was a ring of onions with a bit of paper. I looked at it, and it's all it said, return to last billet. I thought, here we go again. So off I went again. So in the dark, we didn't know the place had been overrun with the Germans. I had another Marine with me at the time. we went back down south. And when we reached this place, they said, I remember them saying, oh, here's Smithy and here's Williamson, so that only leaves Jim Horsfield and Sticks. That's my mate. You know, they thought they'd had it. They thought we'd had it. So a little while later, in comes Jim with a black eye. We thought he'd got in a punch-up with it. And we had a laugh about it. They said, how'd you get your black eye? And he looked at me. He said, it's your bloody sniping rifle. He took my sniping rifle while I was away. I said, where is it? He said, I left it there. And I think that resulted in him getting RTU. He got flung out of the unit because of this. Went back the next day to see if we could find it. Couldn't find it. And then a little bit later, in comes my other mate. And so we got through that one all right, but...
You mean you got a black eye from the kick of the rifle?
Yeah, sniping rifle, yeah. He dealt it right up to his eye. several other things. Well, after that, we went back to Yugoslavia. From we were sent up to Yugoslavia, and we hadn't long been there, and two Italian deserters had deserted from one of the all in Lucien Piccolo. And they'd told the authorities, the partisans, that they would surrender. If we sent a boat round, these unit would surrender to them. So they sent round a naval ML. It bumped into a German E-boat. There were several naval casualties. And this naval officer, when he got back into Zara, he wasn't too happy. Our officer, we were all tied up on boats alongside there. And when I got our senior officer heard about this, he said, I'll send one of my patrols round. Unfortunately, my patrol officer and a mate of mine, Bill Mayle, they'd gone off to reconnoitre a German airfield nearby. So this was a rush job. We was issued with another officer, a new chap, and we were briefed quickly what had happened, and we were going to land, and on the way up the jetty, as we were all rigged out. The officer, briefing officer, and this new officer was in front. I was a few paces behind with this Italian, and I heard this senior officer say, kill the effing lot of them. And this, I heard this, who was with me, and immediately he ran forward, and he said, niente bomba. Or no need to kill. And right away I could see we was in for problems, because no way would he show us where his mate was, knowing we was going to kill a lot of them. So from that moment on, I watched him like a hawk. So when we crept up the Yugoslav coast, and when it was dark, we made off for Lucien Piccolo. I think this night we tied up in the harbour.
Which harbour?
A little harbour in Lucien. I can remember a jetty there. It seemed strange. I remember it more for coming away. But we would carry a big load of petrol. We was going to set fire to this ace if we could. And I know that was a bit of a hindrance, a large can of petrol we had to keep carrying. But my interest was this Italian, because but this officer, it was his first raid. And the sergeant, he was a little bit careful. And for me, I wasn't too happy about the progress of it. We climbed this mountain, we were going along, and all the way along this Italian was pretending he didn't know the path to this billet. And it led to words between the officer and me. This officer tended to believe him. And I know we had quite an argument, and it was about 3 o'clock in the morning when we would have been going round in circles, and this officer turned round. I'd been on raids before, so he turned, and the sergeant had put him off, and he turned round. He said, "Well, Corporal Smith, what would you do if?" I said, "Well, it's a bit late." I said, "But he was there because he spoke good Italian." I said, "You go down there with him, take him down there, approach the sentry, see if you can get him to surrender to this chap here, take them away, and if you've got to kill the lot, kill them over in Yugoslavia when they go get them over to the mainland. And Jochen, the old sergeant, interrupted. He said, no. He said, look, there's dawn coming up. He says, something only got to go wrong and we'll never get off. So we goes back to the mainland, camouflages, comes out the next night, try to land, but it was so rough we couldn't get ashore. So rough, so decided to do it the next night. Went back, camouflaged up. We got a message from HQ. What are you up to? Get back here immediately. So we had to report back to Zara. So when we got back there, my proper officer was there, Captain Lees. And I said to him, I said, go, see if you can come on this raid. And he was all for it. Unfortunately for him, when we got there, Jerry's had loaded it with, originally it was our toys. They'd loaded it with German, crack troops, because they knew we'd be back. And because we must have given ourselves away on that first night, because we went through the village, there was a lot of broken glass, dogs was barking, someone must have spotted us. And anyhow, on this third night, when we had my other officer and a more senior officer come, we landed, we got to the top of the mountain, we sent a guard down, and when anyhow we... These stones was a bit of a giveaway, trying to get quietly down the mountainside. And we got to within about, I suppose, 100 yards of this house, and all hell let loose come. There were bullets flying. I got one in the arm, still down there.
My officer,
yeah, and we flew down. We had dove for any cover we could. So the officer, Captain Lees, there was a low wall the other side of this road, and a sheer drop the other side. Some of our chaps run over, and they had to jump over this wall, but it was steeper than... We had area photographs there, I believe, of what was the other side of this wall. And they jumped, and I believe they were casualties. I never did get round to find them, any better. Officer said, you there, Smithy? I said, I'm right behind you, sir. And we crawled up. Now, he had to go into the house, and I had to cut over the gateway. There was a bit of a road, a few bushes, small low wall, and then there was an entrance about 20 yards up to this house. And I had to go over the other side because there was more Germans up the road. Or there was Italians, we thought at the time. We didn't know there was Jerry's too. I had to go and pick one of them up. I went past with a sergeant and another Marine, and we had to cover the ice from these others while the officer and a few others went in and see if they could capture or blow it up. There was a bit of a pitch battle went on there for a while, and eventually the whistle went, come away. And when I got there, there was a senior officer each side. He was saying, Captain Lees is at it. That's my officer. He was in the doorway. He'd been hit with a stick grenade. And I was choked, I was, because I'd ask him to come on the raid. And he said, don't matter, we can't. That's the way we got to treat life them days. It was so casual. It was, he's at it. Go down there and pick that prisoner up. And lying down in the gardens, There was flames. I remember flames coming out the window, giving a bit of light to the gardens outside. And there was a Jerry laid there with a stick grenade trying to throw it. I took the stick grenade out of his hand. We lifted him up between Jock and me, dragged him over to a wall about 3 or 4 foot high, dragged him up. We started dragging all the rest, meanwhile, making their way back to our small boat. And I'm dragging him along, and suddenly I hear a crack. He shot himself. To this day, I still don't know how he done it, because he seemed to be incapable. Normally we searched him. I took the stick grenade with it, but in the urgency of it, all we wanted was a prisoner, someone who could talk. So we dragged him. I had him over this shoulder. And I'm trying to look beyond like that, see if there's anyone coming up beyond, and Jock got him the other side, like, and then suddenly I hear this crack in my ear. And I'm tying the train, and Jock had got away. He said, let him go, let him go. And so I let him go. And as I let him go, I heard this gun in the deck. And I thought, well, I'm going to have that. I'm going to have something, because we depended on loot for our pocket money. I turned him over, I think, about three times. And then with that, the officer come back. What's going on here? I said, he's just shot himself. just fractions before he came, I spotted this little Bretter smothered in blood, brand new one, in the moonlight. I picked it up. He put three rounds through him like that. Bang, 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 with a Colt 45. Make sure he was dead. And he said, get on, give a hand on that stretcher there. Well, I had to get on the stretcher. It was my mate. It wasn't a stretcher, actually. It was only when I saw him a couple of years ago that turned out to be a door in the commotion. They'd flung him onto a door, and they'd reached this point somehow with chaps carrying him along. And I had to go give a hand lifting this door, which had this. I thought it was a jerry on there. Oh, I remember when I picked up this chap with a stick grenade, I turned around to old Jock. I said, look, Jerry, we expected eye ties. But he sees Jerry Markins. I said, Jerry's. Well, anyhow, he shot himself. I got put on this stretcher, but I was losing blood by then. I know my arm was throbbing and I'd lost a fair bit of blood. And the other side of the stretcher to me was a big guardsman, old Busty Aubrey. And now I'm on the back and we're climbing up this mountain, so all the weight was coming onto me. And I thought this was a jerry on the stretcher. And I said to Busty, I said, I don't know what we're fetching this bastard back for. He says, that's your mate. He was my mate Bill Mayall. We were footballing pals. We both played for the ship's team on the Penelope. And he was a great friend of mine. And all he could say was, leave me, leave me. So, after a while, the officer could see I had problems with loss of blood. So he said, go up front. He said, there's another chap got a prisoner. So I went up front. And there was a chap guarding this jerry along. I said, you've got to go back, give a hand on the stretcher. I said, I'll take him over. So I had an opportunity to learn the German on first Tuesday. No, I was saying, link soon, shut up, like Marilyton, shut up, and left turn, right turn. But if ever there was a hero, it was this Jerry. He'd had the cheek of his ass blown away. He'd messed himself, and he was saying, wir haben Scheißen, he wanted a toilet, but I wouldn't let him, not after that last boat shot himself. And so he kept his arms. Now, this one's some dorm what he done. But it was on the plane afterwards, on the way back, he had a load of kids. He showed me his photo. We were all, so we eventually made down into the, it was on Dawn, and I couldn't see us getting away because they had big guns on top. The Matlows paddled us out to this MTB, ML, and they dragged him up, and then they helped me up. And as I dragged him onto this gun platform, I could see where he'd messed himself, all down his trousers, and the blood all messed him with it. He was in a hell of a state. The chap ushered me to a narrow gangway, which went down, and I apparently fell. And the next I come to, on a cruiser in Yugoslavia, with a big fat head, black eye, we're all at the bottom. So from there, I was put on a plane and flown back to Italy, down to a hospital down South Italy. Meanwhile, my mate, he'd got a signal to say his mother was dying the day of this raid, and he'd just left. He had hitchhiked back to Italy. He went up the airport, got a lift back to Italy, but the time he got there, his mother had died. And the officer told him, he says, I've got some bad news for you. He said, a lot of bad news. He said, your mother has died. Do you still want to go home? He said, also, your patrol's been shot up. And we've had some casualties. And he said, I'm going to bring him up the hospital. He picked us up, this officer, up the aerodrome, took us to a hospital, and the hospitals were so full up, I was laid in a corridor on a stretcher. Man, only a minor case when you see. I looked up, and from where I would see the chaps with their arms and legs hanging out. They'd been tank cases, bad. And I had a good sleep on this stretcher. And the next, this chum of mine come in. He said, yeah, you want to get out of here? He said, they're pulling us out of Yugoslavia. We're going to a rest camp. So next morning when the doctor came, he said, how are you? I felt good. He said, you all right? I said, yeah, I'm fine. Thinking I'm going back and join this rest camp. He said, right, report back to your unit. So I reports back to my unit down in, well, we was in Barry Football Stadium. I reports back, and the officer was amazed to see me, because he's unloaded me off the plane the night before. He said, you sure you're right? I said, yeah. He said, where's your kit? I said, in Yugoslavia. He said, wait, take my Batman, get up to Monte San Angelo, and knock up a quick kit. He said, you're up with the 8th Army first thing in the morning. So with that, I was right up next morning. I went up there and knocked up a kit, and they all knew they was going back in the line. They were all drunk, filled up with Vina Bianca and what. I had to load them next morning like sacks of spuds, all of them, where they were so soaked, because they knew they were going back in the line. And we spent all day going up Italy, went up to Rimini, Ravenna, and took our canoes, and off we went up on Camascio. And we had a series of raids there, which on one occasion we went over the top. Directly it was dark, we went over the top in our canoes. We paddled all night till dawn, and we laid up on the marshes smothered in mozzie cream because we couldn't reach our target in one go, which was little mud islands on the north of the lake. So, and we laid there right through the day. We watched the sun come up. We was laid out, smothered in the marshes. Just at dawn, up come these mosquitoes, millions of them. Stayed there for about 30 seconds or so, and then they settled on us. And then right through the day, we laid there, doing our business, trying to grab, wanting to turn over and see a chap with his trousers down. And then come dawn, at night time, up we'd get, have a stretch, off we went again. And when we reached the shore, there was, I thought they were Jerry's. I could see German uniform. We were paddling in, but the trouble with the paddles, the phosphorus in the water illuminates the paddle. And there was these dressed as Germans, but they was Russians. The Jerry's had put them in the French lawn, and they was using them as cannon fodder. They surrendered to us, and they said, they told us it was all mines where they were. So we had to, how they got back, I don't know. Whether they gave them the canoes and said, make your own way back. We laid and we crawled and crawled, feeling for these mines. And we eventually reached a bit of a small mud hut, surrounded it all by